During this Christmas time, no matter how much we try to organize and plan, there are always surprises, right? Nice thing is that these surprises are most often happy ones. Family member, friend shows up unannounced. There's one arrival that we're about to celebrate, which when you study God's word, you quickly realize wasn't really a surprise at all. I'm talking about the arrival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All throughout the Old Testament, there's prophecy about the coming of Jesus. Now, some require study to see and understand. Others are quite obvious. An example is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What's obvious, yet equally as revealing, of a prophecy is found in Genesis. That's right, all the way in Genesis. This case, chapter 28, verse 14, where God says to Jacob, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And the connection here comes from how Jacob is a part of the genealogy which leads to Jesus. Let's go to 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. Now listen closely. And see if you can understand what God is telling Nathan to reveal to David. God speaking, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. It will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. You shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. David, as was Jacob, was also a part of the genealogy leading to Jesus. Now, if those examples of prophecies about the coming of Jesus don't get your attention, kind of think this one will. Here's what's foretold in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. That prophecy just didn't provide the who, but also the where. Now, if you think, oh, that's amazing, how about we go to Isaiah chapter 53, starting with verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, and so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut out from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This all comes together now in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. And while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So this was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. And in case you missed that, verse 23 even repeats the prophecy of Jesus, which we just read in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Let's also reflect on the birth of Jesus. Did the King of Kings come into this world in a palace? Hardly. Did the Lord of Lords enter this world to be seen first by royalty and rulers? No. The wise men who were the first to see Jesus were in fact lowly shepherds. So, knowing what we know in faith, how are we best able to enter this time of celebration? Our answer comes to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. May your Christmas and every day that follows be filled with the love and peace of God, along with the joy and celebration of family and friends.